Hey, y'all, it's Aaron from the Underground Railroad. You are tuning in to another great show on the 4EYED Radio Network. To listen to more of this show and other great shows, tune in to www.4eyedradio.com.
That's right, kids. This is your good pal, Steve-O, from 4EYED Radio Network. I'm here to talk about a great person. Now, think about it. Who are you going to call when your logo looks like shit? You want a kick-ass logo. You want people to see your logo and go, you know what? That's an awesome logo. I wonder who did that logo. Well, I'll tell you who could do your logos for you. Check out Raven Designs. Special care of your work. Special inquiries? Check her out. She's got everything. RavenCruise.com is the place to go because you want a kick-ass logo. You want to stand above the rest. I guarantee it. You hear this song in the background? You know these guys have a kick-ass logo. It's a recognizable logo. And I guarantee it, if Raven was back in that time period, she probably would have made it for them. And they would have been like, hells yeah, people know who we are because we got Raven Designs behind us. Check out RavenCruise.com if you want a kick-ass logo for business cards. Maybe you want to put it on a car. These guys did. Maybe you want to put it on your building. You want something kick-ass. You want something that people can see and just go, this is awesome. Check out RavenCruise.com. And you know what? Do it. Do it right now. You got nothing else going on for you right now. Get a kick-ass logo. Check out her artwork, RavenCruise.com. Greetings, comic book fans and affiliates alike. Kyle and I are back this week again with a brand new episode of Long Box Cast. Of course, we're going to talk about the premiere of Gotham. Is it a yay? Is it an A? Or is Fox going to pull the plug as soon as it gets popular? Kyle's going to give his little review and Easter eggs of not only Gotham, but also in the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Is it going to be better than the first season, or is it going to fall flat on its face, and am I actually going to give it a try? Also, Kyle's going to give you a review and a rundown of the new Disney Infinity 2.0, which is actually should just be called Marvel Infinity Universe, but we'll see how that goes. We'll also talk about, actually I have a surprise I just totally forgot to tell Kyle about. He'll be super stoked about it, so I'll reveal that to him as soon as the show gets on its merry little way. So here's some opening music for you kids, so sit back, relax, have a beer, or smoke crack. I don't know what you kids do, but do whatever you need to do, and let's get this show on the road.
He flies and fights, Batman. Purity and virtue, Batman. Cowards run away, Batman saves the day. Also, Boy Wonder, Robin. Batman and Robin, cave crusaders at night. Biff, how's that, Batman?
All right, kiddos. Now we are back with a brand new episode of the Long Box Cast. This is episode number 27. Three more episodes, and it'll be at the same age that I'm at. Except at least people actually pay attention to the Long Box Cast. You can find us on www.longboxcast.com, part of the 4EYED Radio Network, The Fern. For more information, visit 4EYEDRadio.com. To listen to the show, you can find us on 4EYEDRadio.com, Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, Zoom Marketplace, BlackBerry Podcast, Blueberry Podcast, Directory, Mural Guide, Double Twist, YouTube, Swell Radio, SoundCloud, and Player FM. You can also find us on iTunes, and you can also subscribe to the Long Box Cast if you feel free to. Also, our show is brought to you by Raven's Designs, illustrations and designs that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit RavenCruise.com. Also, don't forget Comic Care Comics. You can find them at Comic Care, all one word. So instead of like two C's when it gets to care, it's just the one C, it's combined. It's kind of like Phoenix Comic Con kind of stuff, you know. Anyways, check them out. They're a great organization. You can find them on Facebook page. Go to www.comiccare.org to find them. Comic Care is an Arizona nonprofit corporation that delivers donated comic books to children in medical facilities. Also, they teamed up with the Arizona Avengers, where they show up and they visit kids in the hospital to make their day great. I will say this, I do like a lot of the pictures of the Wonder Woman girl on that site. She shows a lot of potential. A lot of potential. Double potential, if you get my drift, guys. I know I'm trying to do a non-profit organization thing here, and I just told it really dirty. But go ahead and check them out.
I think we just lost our sponsor.
Was it what?
I think we just lost our sponsor.
No, we're probably never going to lose our sponsor. Also, don't forget, if you want to give our page a like as well, go to www.facebook.com/longboxcast. Give us a like. Follow us on the Twitters. And now with all that crap out of the way, because if I don't say this stuff, Eric beats me with a phone book. And I'm like, how the hell do you keep finding phone books? But anyways, Kyle, what have you been up to this week?
Besides planning for a wedding, I've been playing Disney Infinity 2.0.
Now, I saw your figure collection, which I don't know if you did post it, but I say go ahead and post it on the Longboxcast because some of those figures are pretty badass. I absolutely love the Venom.
Yeah, Venom is pretty sweet. He's like, he's actually a lot heavier than the other figures until I probably get the Hulk one, but they're all amazing figures. I mean, just some of like the detail they put into it is pretty cool.
Now, I like, because I like the artwork design on these characters, especially for the Marvel Universe one. So basically, you pretty much bought probably, the starter pack, and then you got a bunch of other figures. So go ahead and give me the rundown. What actually comes with the starter pack?
All right. Well, what I originally did was I bought the Amazon bundle deal. And that came with a starter pack, which has Iron Man, Black Widow, Thor, and the Avengers playset. And along with the Amazon bundle deal, I also got a Captain America figure, a Venom figure, and a Rocket Raccoon figure.
Nice.
And it also came with the Spider-Man and Nova, which comes with the Spider-Man playset.
Very cool.
Yeah, that cost me about $130, $20, somewhere around there, $120, I'd say.
Now, actually, with the Amazon bundle deal, like, how much money did you actually save in if you had to go out and buy all these things individually and not get this bundle set?
I saved about a good $40 to $50.
Okay, yeah, no, that's definitely worth it then. So that was, $120? So basically, because the game is, about $59.99, so it's about $60?
Actually, it's about $80.
Oh, it's even more than... Oh, okay, yeah, you got a really good deal on that.
Yeah,
because I think like each individual figure, if I'm mistaken, it might be even higher than this. But I thought it was either $9.99 or they're about $12.99.
I think right now a lot of stores are selling them for like $13 or $14.99.
Oh, so I was way off.
Yeah, but I mean, and then I got a $20 off coupon from Best Buy, so I went and bought Groot and Iron Man or Iron Fist from them.
Very nice.
Yeah. Target had the Guardians of the Galaxy playset, which was, buy that and then you get two free power packs. So that was kind of cool because that gives you the discs that you need.
Okay.
And then Toys R Us had buy three for $33, and that completed my entire set.
Okay, very nice, very nice. Now, I have a couple of questions because you just mentioned Power Disc, and I'm going, What the hell is this? So I get the concept. It's almost kind of like they kind of took a page out of the Spyro people where you get this little mini thing, plugs into your USB port, and then you put a figure on it, and then you can play as that character throughout the thing, and then you can switch them out and everything like that. So what does the Power Disc do?
Well, the Power Disc, depending on what they are, sometimes they'll give you extra strength, sometimes they'll give you extra defense, speed, level up faster, stuff like that. So there's also stuff where you can, for your toy box, which is where you get to like build your own world, you get to do whatever you want, kind of like Roller Coaster Tycoon. You just build whatever you want, and some of them like will change like the ground to like say you want it to look like the Hulk was here and just smashed everything. There's a disc for that, and the background if you want it to look like Guardians of the Galaxy space, you got that. And some of the new discs that they just incorporated are costume changes, like Iron Man's new costume changes him to the Iron Man from Iron Man 3.
Oh, okay.
Iron Fist got the white costume. Spider-Man's got the black suit, stuff like that.
Well, that's actually sounds pretty awesome. Now, what I'm going to ask about this game, because I never played the first one, Disney Infinity. Heck, I've never even played even the Spyro ones where it comes with the different multiple characters and building everything this. Now, with this one, I'm pretty sure it's pretty much like the same as the first one. Now, can you use old figures from that set, put it into this set?
Yes. Yes, you can. Basically, everything can be transferred over from the first one to the second one, except for the playsets, which is basically its own little, like, the level for certain characters. Like, in the first one, you had Pirates of the Caribbean, Monsters, Inc., The Incredibles, Toy Story, stuff like that. Those worlds don't transfer over.
Okay.
But you can still use their characters. You can still use some of the stuff that you get from those worlds. They just make it unlock for you already.
Okay. Because
this one, the only thing I don't like about 2.0 is that there's only three worlds available. It's Avengers, Spider-Man, and Guardians of the Galaxy. I wish there was more.
Most likely they'll probably be giving out more, but that seems kind of weird to get. This is an $80 game, and I'm only getting like three worlds to like do anything. Now, can you play multiplayer on this, like two-player team up?
Yes.
And can you also do it online through that?
It is multiplayer. I actually have never done that, but I know it's possible. And online, there is an online special where, even if you just buy the figures, they come with a card, and on the card is, like, a number. You just type in the number into the online, and you get to play it that way.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool. Yeah, because I this is definitely a game I will want to pick up because I found it very interesting, and then especially since it's Marvel characters, it's a superhero thing. A lot of people have been saying it's a really good, like, superhero game right now, and it kind of brings me back to I'm kind of really would like to see a Marvel, was it the Ultimate Marvel Universe mashup game, kind of like the X-Men Legends again, where you can do that, especially with brand new graphics and all that kind of stuff. So I will probably most likely be picking this up for my Xbox One. I do have a PlayStation 3, and I know I'll be looking into getting a PlayStation 4 in the near future, because hopefully if everything works out for me, I finally got a call back for a job.
Nice.
And it should be, hopefully, if everything works out well within the next 3 months, then hopefully I'll be hired on as a permanent employee for U.S. Airways. So, and I don't have to actually go to the airport. I'm actually doing stuff in the actual corporate office, and hopefully we'll get mighty a lot of good perks. But, of course, once that job starts, I'll be stocking money away, paying things off and things like that. I figure once I get enough money saved up, move into my new place, and then I pretty much am going to treat myself to my own housewarming gift of buying myself a PlayStation 4. So, but I will save up for that, so I'm not putting myself into any more debt. But, yeah, no, the Marvel, because actually, as many people don't know this, but September is pretty much the start of the gaming season for the holidays. So a lot of games are going to be coming out. In fact, two games already did come out, plus this third one, the Disney Infinitive. So there's the Hyrule Warriors. So if you have a Nintendo Wii U, highly recommend it. And then also the Destiny game came out, which is kind of weird. I would probably wait on that game. I mean, I did pick it up, but I did the smart thing where I bought it for the 360 digitally, and then it can transfer over to the Xbox One, so I can go back and forth, because my brother still has a 360, so I game with him. But it's just a very weird RPG. I just want to say that I think, what's it called? Did it better? Borderlands. But anyways, that's enough of the nerd gaming news and stuff of that. So, Kyle, what would you rank this game so far?
So far, because of the limited worlds and whatnot, I'm probably going to have to give it like a 7 out of 10.
Okay, but then I'll put it this way. Also, how would you rate the figures?
Oh, figures? 9 out of 10, and only because I want more.
Now, do you have all the ones that are out currently for the Marvel ones?
Yes, I have all the Marvel ones, except for Hulk. He doesn't come out until October, and then the rest of the Disney characters like Stitch, Maleficent, and Merida from Brave don't come out until November.
Okay, well, they're probably just gearing up for the thing. Now, was there a reason why Hulk is pushed back? Because for some strange reason, I thought Hulk was supposed to be in the starter set at one point.
Because people are douchebags and they want me to wait.
Okay. You're heard it here, kids. So Kyle and I think we're going to jump into finally the fall season has started. A lot of great shows have come out. In fact, I'm actually getting into Sleepy Hollow because everything's on. I've seen the first episode. I just watched the second episode. But I saw the first episode to the new season, and I was like, okay, what the hell's going on? I need to watch this. So luckily, it's still on Hulu. So definitely be checking that out. I know it's not really comic booky or anything like that, but I just thought I'd mention it. But of course, the kickoff has started, I believe, in October. Two more shows. One's coming back for its third season, and one show is starting for its very first season. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back, which, yes, I will get caught up on. And also the premiere of Gotham was last week, and the next episode is coming up. So Kyle and I will definitely be trying to give you stuff, you know, right, prime, and center. So we'll talk about Gotham first, and then I'll give Kyle can give the rundown of everything on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But Kyle said he found a bunch of Easter eggs. I want to make sure we're on the same page with Easter eggs, so I don't want to be blurting out stuff. So right now, we are going to be spoiling Gotham. So if you have not watched it, I would say you've been warned right now. Spoilers. I would say give this a good maybe 15 to 20 minutes. Actually, go watch Gotham right now. If you have Hulu, go watch Gotham and go watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. if you do not want spoilers, because I have a feeling this might be, you know, taking up a lot of good time of the podcast, and then you'd be like, well, I listened to the first half and that was about all I could get to. So stop right now if you're listening and you have not seen those shows. Go ahead and watch them. So Gotham.
Please come back.
Yeah, and then come back and see if you agree with us, if you don't agree with us. Even tell us if we missed some Easter eggs, or what's your opinion? How do you feel about the show, this brand-new show on Fox? So Gotham starts out, and it starts out, you know, very straight to the point. A guy shows up, you see the Waynes leave. Well, first it tracks down Catwoman. Catwoman's doing her thing. You kind of get to see her being like a little, stealing stuff, causing trouble, doing what she needs to do. And then, of course, she looks like the only person that's witnessed the Wayne murder, but she doesn't know who the guy is either, because the guy's basically, all you see is his eyes, everything else is wrapped up, and then all you know that he has shiny shoes. So right off the bat, you know, and this kid gave a really good scream, like when his parents died, it was pretty terrifying. And then Alfred shows up when the cops are there, and Gordon just arrived in Gotham. Gordon is like a brand new, like he's been on the force for a long time. I guess he was a police officer and then got transferred to, you know, the detective part of the police, you know, stuff. So he is he's now in Gotham, and he's partnered with Bullock.
Yep. So far, I mean, it was pretty good. It's kind of weird seeing Gordon without his signature mustache or glasses or whatever, but I'm sure they'll bring those in soon enough. I mean, you find out Gordon's a war hero, and his father was on the force, and he seems to be the only non-crooked cop in the entire GCPD.
Which pretty much works out to it. Now, I do like the fact that they did touch upon that he was in the military, because that actually goes back to the Frank Miller story of Batman Year One. Where I'm trying to remember the character's name, which I'm wondering if he is going to be introduced into the show. But there's this character, another cop, that was giving pretty much Gordon shit at one point. And then Gordon basically tracked him down, and like, he gives the guy a baseball bat. He's like, I know I'm giving him a weapon, but I'm just trying to make this a fair fight. Because he was like, I think they just said military. I think he was in the Marines, you know, like the I think Gordon was actually in the Marines. So that's why. And then Gordon just beats the crap out of this guy, which I thought was just freaking hilarious. So but that doesn't happen in the show. But I just hope they touch upon this kind of stuff. So but you can see the guy who's playing Bullock. He's been on a bunch of different things. He's a great actor. I think he nailed this character.
Definitely.
And a lot of people, like, I know I was talking with Eric Dewey a little bit on Socially Awkward about it, but he's like, yeah, I don't know why they made Bullock so crooked. I go, well, technically, he's been a crooked cop. It wasn't until Gordon was partnered with him that he started showing, like, Bullock, like, no, we can change the system. We can make this place an actual, you know, better place. So basically, it starts out Wayne's murder. They're trying to figure it out. And, of course, then you get introduced to Fish Mooney. And, yes, no relations.
Aw.
I'm not black.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. You get introduced to her, and you can also see the Penguin. Now, the guy who's playing the Penguin, perfect.
Yes.
This guy I like. I mean, like, he has a kind of, like, he's almost a little bit like a coward and stuff, but then there's, like, parts where, like, they'll say, like, they'll call him Penguin, which he fucking hates, and then he can just get into this ruthless, like, don't call me that. So they basically talk to her. Now, throughout all this stuff that's going on, before we even get into, like, the next part of it, what are some of the Easter eggs right off the bat in this first kind of...
All right. Well, obviously, you already mentioned Catwoman. You get to see her as a kid. She's even got her little signature goggles going on that she's wearing. See, Penguin. I kind of like the little touch about him handling the umbrella, since, you know, that's his signature weapon when he later on.
Yes.
And this one, I kind of had to look up for it, but when his parents die and he's standing there between their bodies and he's screaming, if you just, like, look at the shape of all three of them together, it creates the bat symbol.
Yeah, I was looking at that because I was like, oh, wouldn't it be so cool if it's like it just had a shadow, like a long shadow, and then it had just like the two ears at the top, and then I was like, oh no, they actually did like the cool bat symbol thing. So, Now, so that's kind of cool. All that stuff's going on. So of course, they track down basically. I'm trying to remember the man's first name, but it's basically Pepper.
Something Pepper.
Which, right off the bat, I know, technically that's not, it's supposed to be Poison Ivy's father.
Right.
He's basically a criminal that's been in and out of jail, drug charges, assault, nothing like too major, like no murders, no, like, you know, anything else. Most likely it's domestic violence by the time, when you actually get into the house, because you see, like, his wife has, like, a high. Now, yeah, technically Poison Ivy's last name was never Pepper.
We just thought it was Ivy.
Yeah, and she actually became like an actual medical, not a medical, scientist, working with plants and stuff like that. Like, I think a biologist, I want to say. But we'll get into that. They're just touching upon stuff. But they are showing little things, like they show like her playing with, like, you know, taking care of plants in the household and stuff like that. So they track down him and they open the door, they bust in, they do this huge chase scene over to him and everything like that. And then he tries to basically, he almost kills Gordon. They get in this huge, like, fight while they're running through, like, this entire building complex. And he basically is almost about to stab Commissioner Gordon. And then all of a sudden, Bullock shows up and boom, and shoots him. So when they finally search the house, they find this bag, pretty much kind of looked like it had a bunch of cocaine in it. Opens it up, and there's the pearls from Martha Wayne. So already off the bat, which me right off the bat when I saw that, I was kind of pissed. I was like, this is not his killer. Because I know, if you people don't know his actual killer, the Wayne's actual killer, which I'm kind of hoping they do bring that into thing. Because, in fact, no one ever does catch the killer except Batman does. And there's actually a story about it where he basically confronts the guy, and he's talking about, like, you killed the Waynes, you know, you left a boy there and stuff like that. The guy's like, who the hell are you? And he removes his mask and goes, I'm the son of the man you killed that night or whatnot. And he, like, flips out. Like, he goes, like, oh, my God, runs out of this room into, like, a whole bunch of gangsters going, like, oh, my God, I know who Batman is. I killed his parents, like, many years ago and stuff. And all the before he can tell the gangsters the name, they all turn around and go, wait a minute, you're the one who created Batman? You're the one that we've been living in fear for. You're the one that this guy's been coming in, and they kill the guy. So then nice. No one ever finds out who Batman was, just because the criminals were like, it was like, fuck you, you know, kind of thing. So I really hope they do stick true to that, where they do, when they finally reveal his name. I've been kind of hoping they were going to reveal his name and I can go, okay, cool, and stuff like that. But a lot of people, I'm not going to reveal the guy's name just in case no one knows who it is. But yeah, that was a really good story that they did at that time. Mm-hmm. So of course you find out that he was framed. Gordon starts sniffing around, realizing, like, something's not fitting right, you know, because he goes back to Pepper's apartment and realizes, he's like, where's his shoes? He starts looking at all his shoes. So Gordon basically starts kind of digging. Gordon starts doing his, you know, detective work, but he's doing the honest detective work, not just taking, you know, the credit, going like, okay, I will find this kid's killer. So, of course, goes back to Fish Mooney. She doesn't like it. Now, there's this part where she basically knocks him out and he gets dragged away, and then Gordon's fiance Barbara, you know, calls Bullock and's like, yeah, you didn't come home last night. And then it was kind of weird because Bullock was all like, oh yeah, he's just on a stakeout. So you're just like, oh no, is he in on it? You know, it kind of gives you this feeling like, oh, he wants Gordon dead too and stuff like that. And then it goes back to Fish Mooney, you know, and she's eating dinner and she's doing all this kind of, you know, stuff, but there's this comedian on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making her laugh. Now, right after the show premiered, a lot of people said, oh, is this the Joker? Is this guy going to be the Joker?
Nope.
I said no. And a lot of people go, like, why is he not going to be the Joker? I go, because he was funny. People were laughing at his jokes.
Here's the thing. They've people who are behind Gotham, they already said that each week there's going to be a reference to the Joker's backstory. This was that one. They said... A struggling comedian and it ties into Alan Moore's The Killing Joke origin.
Yes, which that's what I was going to get at, because that was the thing with The Killing Joke, is he, when Joker talked about his, like, multiple paths, basically, mm-hmm. there was a part saying, like, oh, yeah, I always wanted to become a comedian and stuff like that, but I wasn't making money because I wasn't funny. And then he said, like, that's when he gets into the trouble with the loan sharks and all this other kind of stuff that adds up. So that's why I wrapped.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's right off the hat, when this guy was making her laugh, I was like, that's not the Joker, because the Joker, that was his problem. He never made anybody laugh if he was ever trying to be a stand-up comedian or anything like that, because we don't know really what his backstory is. He has so many different things that happened to him that you starting to believe, but that was the thing, because then when his transformation finally happened, that was the thing. He's like, then I realized the joke was on me. You know, now I look like I'm always smiling, except I'm miserable inside, and all these kind of dark paths and stuff. So now throughout this whole thing, now there's also the part where before that they go to track down Fish Mooney and confront her about this, you know, framing, the Penguin actually meets up with two other DA officers. I think they're working for the FBI?
Something.
Or like another branch. I'm not really sure. But he basically sits in the car and tells them, oh, this was the, she was the one that planned the murder, all this kind of stuff. And basically, Penguin's whole theory right now, he's been trying to push Fish Mooney out, like basically gain her loyalty and stuff like that, and then find a way where he can swoop in and take over, you know, basically that area. Because when the Penguin actually becomes like the Penguin, he does a lot of stuff with arms dealing and, so he's not really like a criminal that does big time crimes, but he wants to be almost like Falcone. To an extent. Any Easter eggs in that thing that we might have missed?
Well, besides the Joker, there's a few things we forgot. The Riddler.
That's right.
Yes, he's the, what was it?
Forensics?
Yeah, he's in the forensics. And, you know, he's, like, trying to tell him what it was, but he keeps giving him riddles about it, and Bullock keeps getting pissed off and was like, quit with the riddles. And
I did like that. That was my favorite thing, because that's right off the bat where you realize, like, he's already doesn't like Gordon, because he always wants to be the smartest person in the room. And when he gives that one riddle, he's like, what was here but was there, and then is here but is nothing at all. And then he's all like, it wasn't something like that. I forget, it was something like that. And then Gordon's just like, it's nothing. And then you just see kind of like this look on his face, like, fuck. So, so that was kind of a cool nod. So we'll see. That's actually what I'm curious about, is like, now we get to see his transformation of like, okay, what pushes him over the edge to actually go into being the Riddler.
Mm-hmm. And this one I thought was actually really cool. The apartment of Barbara, right when you first see it, if you look out the window, it's a clock tower, which is also, you know, the headquarters for the Birds of Prey. So I thought that was kind of like a cool little nod. They're like, so basically when they have their kid, you know, Barbara Gordon, and she becomes Batwoman and Oracle and all that stuff, she'll be in a clock tower.
Yeah, that should be really kind of cool. So I do like all these little Easter eggs. Now, of course, you find out that Bullock finds out that Gordon's been captured. Gordon goes and tries to reason with them. He's like, look, if you kill my partner, I'm going to rat you guys out. And things like that. And it's kind of funny to see, like, Fish Mooney. She was a very sweet kind of girl. Like, she knew how to talk her way into things. She knew how to be, like, flirty and stuff like that. But right when she gives the phone back to one of her henchmen, she's like, that son of a bitch just, threatened me. You take care. And right that transformation, I was like, okay, Jada Pinkett Smith, you got this. So then she finds out that the Penguin was the one who ratted her out. She basically beats the crap out of him and, like, breaks, I think, one of his legs, or at least damages like that. Like, she basically went to town on his legs. Then right before you think that Bullock and Gordon are going to get it, all of a sudden this garage door opens and these men come in and they just start shooting everybody. And then you find out it's Falcone. Now, I'm trying to remember the actor's name. He's been in a bunch of other stuff. Who's playing Falcone, but I think it's a great guy who picked him. He's very good, and then he starts talking to Gordon, saying, like, your father and I were friends. We knew how this city ran and everything like that. And then Gordon figures out, he's like, okay, well, you obviously didn't need the Waynes killed, so it's not you, because you wouldn't have saved me if it was you. So something else is trying to you know, push somebody out, something's going on. And even he said the same thing. He's like, look, I might be a criminal, but I know how everything works here. I'm like, if there's no order, if there's no, like, law, if there's no police officers or anything like that, he's all like, people are going to get corrupt and people are going to try to take over my territory and stuff like that. It's like everybody, and basically how I described it, it's like, yeah, as sick as that sounds, that pretty much this entire town is run by criminals, everything has its place and everything needs to work in certain order. And he's like, you know, first off, I'm a businessman, you know, kind of thing. So then you find out that Gordon's father was a DA and he worked very close with Falcone at the time. Then after all that is done, you see them pull up to these docks and Bullock's basically telling Gordon, like, okay, you need to get with the game. You need to realize how this town is run, all this kind of stuff. They open the trunk and you find the Penguin in there. He's like, now I need you to put a bullet in this man's head and dump him in the river so we know you're with the program. And then Gordon's like, no, he's like, you've killed people before. And then right off the bat, Gordon's like, that was war. That was different, you know, kind of thing. And he's all like, and what if I don't decide to do it? Bullock's like, and I'm going to have to shoot both of you. And Gordon, to be honest with you, I like you. You're a nice guy and everything like that, but I don't want to have to do this to you. So, of course, they pull the Penguin out. The Penguin starts pleading with Gordon, saying, like, I could be your man. I can be your infiltration. I can give you information. I can basically saying I'm going to be a stitch, you know, a snitch, a stool pigeon or a stool penguin, if you must. he walks basically down to the docks, and while he's walking, because his legs are so damaged, he's basically waddling like a penguin. Mm-hmm. So they get to the dock, and, you know, he's pleading. He's like, makes him turn around and everything like that, and then he goes, like, never come back to Gotham again. If you do, I will kill you. And he does like a fake shot, you know, over his head and pushes him into the water. And then he walks back. So Bullock's like, okay, he's on board with us now. And then Gordon finally shows back up at, you know, his fiance's place. She's like, oh my God, what's happening? You can already see that Gordon's like, within that first, I would say, what, 48 hours, maybe 72 hours of him being on the force, he realizes, okay, I need to get some shit together. I need to, you know, pull some strings or whatnot. Cause he's just like, you just see that face of like, holy crap. Then of course, then the Penguin gets out of the river, gets up, and right off the bat, he just sees some guy and he just steals the guy's knife and cuts him across the throat, steals a sandwich. And he tells like, I will be back. So, already I would have to say Fish Mooney, watch your back, because now the Penguin is like, he's becoming the Penguin. Like, he's he's realizing, okay, I'm gonna have to be more ruthless. I'm gonna have to be more cunning. And that's the thing. The Penguin's actually a very smart character. That's why the Danny DeVito version of the Penguin, they got the makeup down and everything, but he was never this kind of brutal, kind of like, you know, kind of savage person. Like, the Penguin has always been an elegant supervillain. He's always been very smart. He's always been very, you know, tedious and everything that that was actually one of the great renditions of him in the animated series when they redid it. Like, the Penguin owned his own nightclub and that was like his front, and then of course he was an arms dealer and everything like that. So before the episode pretty much wrapped up, any other Easter eggs?
Yes, two. When they first go see Fish Mooney, you see dancers in the background. They are dressed up like Harley Quinn.
Yes.
And the final one, when Bullock tells him to meet Gordon somewhere, he goes, meet me at 4th and Grundy, which is a nod towards Solomon Grundy.
Yes, when it said Grundy, I was like, ooh, Solomon Grundy, are you going to bring? Because that's the thing, like, since DC owns all these characters, these are characters you can start incorporating into the series. Like, you can't be like, oh, we can't use this because it's owned by this, you can't do that. So, your thoughts of the first episode, is it a series that you want to stick with? And then we'll give it our review. So what was your first impression?
Well, I went into this with very low expectations because, as most people know, I am not the biggest Batman fan. I think he's overrated and all that. But this is a TV show without Batman, so I'm okay with that because I'm a huge fan of at least his Rogues Gallery.
Yes.
So I'm going to stick around for a few more episodes, because like you said last episode, it's the premiere. They're going to make it epic. So you got to figure, give it a few more episodes, and if it starts dying down, like some shows do, I might give up on it. But for right now, I'm going to keep watching.
Okay. Now, what would probably be your first review, your rating for this? How many bat symbols are you going to give it?
I'm gonna give it 7 dead parents' bat symbol silhouettes out of 10.
I like that better. I'm going to give it 8 dead parents. My future hopes for the show, if it's able to do the course that we want it to do, mm-hmm. where it's able to get enough seasons in. Now, I'm not saying it needs to be a 10-season show. I'm not saying it needs to be a huge, but I want at least them to be able to tell the story that they want to tell. I will recommend this. If you're going to do the final season should be Batman Year One. And what I mean by that is not necessarily Batman showing up, but you get to see Bruce Wayne, you know, grown up. Gordon is basically almost close to becoming Commissioner Gordon. You can get into the dynamic of Gordon having a child. Gordon, you know, him and his wife are married, and then also start getting to the fact where Bruce mm-hmm. Wayne is, you know, going out at night and he's taking care of guys, but he's not in the Batman suit until like a little bit later and stuff like that. And then you can get into that whole. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I just want to see this. The very first scene you see with this TV show is Catwoman just standing there by the gargoyles. What I'm hoping for is the very final scene of the very final season is Bruce Wayne finally in the Batman suit, just standing up there next to the gargoyles, and you just bring it to full circle.
That would be cool. And actually, his last line, which I am going to tell everybody now what his last line should be before this series just ends, and you're just like, all right, this is going to be great. He's standing up there and everything down. He probably could talk about, you know, like he can even say, like, I am vengeance, I am the knight, I am Batman. But then he'd be like, and I also know who killed my parents. So, Joe, chill, I'm coming for you. And it just ends. And you're just like, oh, yeah. So if they do it like that, like if they were able to build it up where you get to see, like, you don't even have to see, like, a bunch of stuff that Batman does in the costume. Just, like, if you end the series with him finally in the suit and everything like that, mm-hmm. or, like, him going, like, I'm taking back Gotham, you know. You know, that then you told your story and everything like that. So hopefully they don't go too overboard with the Rogues Gallery where, like, we get a season where there's, like, 8, you know, let's put 14,000 people. Some of the characters I would like to see are some Batman characters that we have not seen in movies, but we can get, like, a little, you know, taste of them, stuff like that. Now, I don't think we're going to ever get to see Mr. Freeze because I don't know how you'll be able to do that because technically Mr. Freeze doesn't come around until Batman's actually Batman. But I would like to see,
but
like...
you can always have... Oh, sorry again. But you can always just have him and his wife being scientists or whatever.
No, yeah, like I'm saying, you can do little things like that, but you can't really just be like, oh, this is Mr. Freeze. I would like to see, like, maybe touches upon, like, even, like, the Mad Hatter, all this kind of stuff. You can even do, if you wanted to do a really cool thing, I don't know if you could do it, but if you wanted to do a really cool thing where you can introduce the character Hush, but since he's the yes. same age as Bruce at that time, and you can even talk about that dynamic between them being friends growing up, all this kind of stuff. So
that would be awesome if they actually brought in someone who's, like, best friends of Bruce Wayne.
So, yeah, I mean, there's so much you can do with the show. So hopefully, this is what I'm saying, like, hopefully it doesn't become one of the... There's two things that could happen. Hopefully it does become a show that just totally starts bottoming out right after this premiere episode and Fox pull the plug. Or hopefully it becomes a really good series and we're all enjoying it. And then Fox is like, yeah, we're going to pull this up. We did Firefly, so...
Only time will tell.
So we'll give you the reviews, rundowns, and Easter eggs on the next episode of Gotham. But right now, we're going to talk about the new seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, apparently the last season ended like, holy crap! So was this a great episode to come back to, or do you think this is going to be one of those episodes where they're going to be building towards something?
They're definitely building towards something, obviously. It was a good starting episode. I mean, there's about a 3-month gap between the finale of the last one and this one. There's a few new members, because Coulson is now the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick Fury placed him in charge in the season finale of last. And he's basically going around the world trying to find people that he can trust. He has to do it in person, because it's the only way to get a good vibe on someone. So, and we actually get introduced to 3 new characters. Let's see. Lucy Lawless, who was Xena, the Princess Warrior, is in this. She plays Izzy Hartley. And then there was someone else. His name is Lance Hunter. and there was someone else, and I couldn't even remember to save my life right now. But the show actually started off in 1945, where you see Agent Carter, Dum-Dum Dugan, and one of the other guys from the Howling Commandos. Basically, Captain America has just been frozen, Red Skull's dead, or quote-unquote dead. We all know he's coming back. And they're taking out the rest of Hydra and Germany. And you see this obelisk item that the guy, that one of the German soldiers is holding. He doesn't touch it because he said the last person that touched it turned to stone. So right off the bat, I'm already thinking, is this an Infinity Stone? Because anytime someone touches an Infinity Stone, something bad happens to them. And then Agent Carter shows up, and she's all like, we'll be taking this, and you're under arrest, and all that crap and whatnot. But they got the same actors that played Agent Carter, Dum-Dum Dugan, and the other guy from the Howling Commandos.
Which, so will they be probably an Agent Carter then?
I have a good feeling.
Okay.
That they probably will be, yeah. And so now you're back in 2014 with the rest of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and they're in on a sting. Someone's trying to sell S.H.I.E.L.D. intelligence about the same obelisk that we just saw back in 1945. So they get ready to... things are going well, and then next thing you know, someone shows up and starts trying to get the information for himself. You learn that it's actually the Absorbing Man.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, he has the ability to touch an object, and he takes on that material, and he can use that to his advantage. So they start firing weapons at him, and nothing. They just deflect him, and they don't understand why. Well, anyways, back on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, we finally see Fitz, one of the scientists, who last season was stuck in a container, and they had to get out, but to do it, it kind of like messed up his brain because of the air pressure and whatnot, so he's kind of like there, but not there. He's just kind of out of it. All right. I'm not really good at describing episodes like you, Steve. So this is.
Oh no, you're fine. Like, yeah. I mean, I think I go way into depth to it where people are like, I should just watch the episode.
All right. Well, basically, you know, they finally find a piece of the Absorbing Man broke off. So they took that with them and they're studying it. Next thing you know, it turns back to flesh because it was originally metal. And so then they finally get DNA off of it. They find the guy. They, and they find out he's going after the same sergeant who's trying to bring down S.H.I.E.L.D. because he thinks they're all Hydra. Even though Coulson keeps trying to tell him that they're not, but he doesn't care. So Absorbing Man goes after him, and this is where one of the Easter eggs shows up. He grabs like a ball and a chain, which is his signature weapon, which I thought was awesome. Like, I see it, and I'm like, hey, look, it's the ball and chain. And my fiance just looks at me kind of funny. So.
Hey, soon you'll be able to say my wife looked at me kind of funny.
Yeah. Hopefully when I'm listening to this, I can, hopefully when I'm listening to this in the car on our honeymoon, she'll, yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this. Anyways, so the guy's in jail. And Coulson and his team kidnap the general who's been trying to take them out. And he's like, they're like, you idiot, you weren't supposed to arrest that guy. He's after the something that you guys put into the container where you have all of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. And he's like, what are you talking about? And they're like, he's after something in there. And you just let him straight there. So, you know, they put him in like a glass container thinking that would hold him, but he ends up just touching the glass and he's invisible. So when the guards go to look, they don't see anything at all. And they're like, wait, where the hell did he go? So, and then he just shows, you finally see like a camera angle show and you like see like a little blur and you see him and then he just like knocks him out when they go in to check things out, which really I don't understand why they would do that, but you know, guards are stupid.
Well, this is why, you know, Hydra was able to infiltrate, you know.
Yeah, true. So, let's see. They get onto the base, they're trying to find the weapon, and Lucy Lawless's character, she ends up grabbing it, thinking, you know, hey, if this is something you guys are after, well, maybe I'll use this weapon against you guys. She grabs it, and her hand turns to stone. Well, yeah, so they're like, crap, we need to get you to medical attention right away. Can you drop the item? She's like, no, I can't drop it. So they get into a car, and they start driving away. They're like, fuck this, fuck the mission, because these three guys, they were part of like a team beforehand, and they just don't, they don't care about S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. They care about their own people. That's about it. So okay. They get out of there, and the Absorbing Man shows up. Well, he basically just touches the concrete and becomes concrete itself. So the car just like slams right into him and then just like barrels over and whatnot. Oh, and actually before that, they actually cut off the chick's hand because they didn't want it to spread to the rest of her body. So they cut off her hand.
Damn.
Yeah, I know, right? And let's see. So the car flips and one guy survives, but he plays dead because he has, you know, he's scared and doesn't want the guy to kill him because he somehow survived it. But I think the other two are dead. It kind of looked like it. So now the Absorbing Man has the material because he can change his skin to whatever, and he can pick up the item without it turning him to stone. So, I mean, I'm sure I'm missing a few things, like they went to go visit Agent Ward, who was part of their team, but turned out to be a Hydra agent. And, you know, they're trying to find more information. But, I mean, overall, it was a good start. I'm not really a big fan of the whole three-month gap later thing. Or for anything, like any time-lapse gap. It always just annoyed me a little bit.
Okay. So, have they done this before where they finally started introducing supervillains? Or is this the first time that supervillains are showing up, and are they going to start trying to find, like, other superheroes they can use but not, like, as big as, like, the ones that we know, like Captain America, Iron Man, and all that kind of stuff? Do you think they are going to start joining the new edition for the new, like, I would say the reboot of trying to get S.H.I.E.L.D. back online?
Well, in the, let's see, I'm trying. In the first season, we had Deathlok, who was, like, our first main actual character from the comics universe. And who else did we have? Deathlok, and there was another guy who was more of like a Nova villain. I can't remember his name, but he had the ability to like absorb light and just make everything dark.
Okay, very cool.
So there
cool.
was those two. And as for bringing more heroes, I'm kind of hoping they bring in Squirrel Girl, just because.
That would be pretty cool. There's I would like to see that. And like, I'm not saying you need to bring in really big superheroes, which is kind of sucky because I know they're getting their own series on Netflix, but I would have kind of liked to see like Iron Fist and Luke Cage kind of show up in these shows. They possibly could if their Netflix series goes well, because technically you can use these characters with ABC and stuff like that. Now, so what would you give this what would you give this episode's rating? How many Absorbing Mens would you give?
I would give it 8 out of 10 Absorbing Mens.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, one of the things, a couple other things I forgot. The villain that was the Hydra villain in the beginning of the episode was also showed up at the very end of it with the obelisk again. So, and he looks like he has not aged at all.
Oh.
Yes.
Very cool.
And I did some research, and I found out he is actually, in the comics, known as the Kraken, apparently a very popular Hydra agent or something.
Okay, very cool. Okay, cool. So I'm definitely going to try to catch up as much as I can. I think all the episodes are on Hulu, so I'm going to try to sit down and watch those before my job starts and everything like that, so I can be caught up for the next week. Now, I think it's next week, but next week we get the start of Arrow Season 3 and the premiere of The Flash. It could be the following
when
week.
When this episode airs on Wednesday, it'll be the next week, so it's not going to be this upcoming few days, no.
Okay.
It's like the 7th and 8th.
Okay, that's what I was trying to remember. And so when those premiere, I know I'll be jumping on the Flash right off the bat, so we can talk about that, what we like about it, what we don't like about it. Do we think the comic is going to go, if they're going to stick true to the comic of it? So far, all the teaser trailers, it looks like they are. There's only one. No, I don't think there's anything so far that I've seen in the trailers. I'm like, that's not right. Era, I am going to give another shot, so I am going to try to barrel through the first season. Everyone said the second season is a lot better, so I said, okay. So I am going to, whether or not I'm enjoying the first season, I will try to get through them.
Just skip the first season.
Okay, well, the second season, I don't know if it's on Netflix yet, so I think that actually should be coming about sometime this week while this episode premieres to get everyone caught up for next week, because I know Walking Dead has just released their fourth season, so if you need to get caught up for the season premiere of season 5, go ahead and check that out on Netflix. Also, Comic Book Men season 3 is finally available. I watched a couple of episodes. I really like I know a lot of people are against Kevin Smith for some, like, people who used to love Kevin Smith, like, hate Kevin Smith now. I don't know why. I still enjoy the show. I think it's very funny. I like the fact that in season 2, they finally pushed them down to about 24-minute episodes. I think that works so much better for it than being an hour long, like season 1 was. But season 1 only had 6 episodes to begin with, I think. But season 2 is pretty good. The premiere has Lou Ferrigno in there. He shows up at the store, so it's kind of funny. But yeah, no, it was, I like the show. I think it's fun. So, definitely check that out if you're a comic book fan. I just like some of the items people bring in and some of the funny stuff that they talk about. So, it's kind of stuff that I know our friends and I will talk about, and probably Kyle and I, if we ever had like chit chats with, like, who do you think would win in a fight? Would it be, you know, Thor against Hulk and all that kind of stuff? So, if you are a big fan of Comic Book Men, season 3 is now available on Netflix, so go ahead and check that out. And the surprise I have for Kyle, I just saw this because I'm not a subscriber anymore. Once I pay things off and get things down, I'll probably go back to them because I think they're really good. They're really good, fun nerd things to have is Loot Crate and Nerd Block. Nerd Block actually has a great thing coming on soon. I think it's next month or this month in October coming up. Deadpool.
I know what you're talking about. Yep. They have the exclusive figure. I got the email for that, and I already signed up to get October's Nerd Block.
Yeah, so what I would like to do once it... Kyle could probably do this on his one. When he finally gets the Nerd Block, you could probably do a little video of what's inside and talk about yay, nay, and then we can just post that on the website. Hopefully when I finally get back into those, getting the subscription to Loot Crate and Nerd Block, we'll probably do that every so often where we'll talk about the cool items you got this. Like, we'll be like, hey, this was awesome, or, no, I think they did better last month, or anything like that. So, I did actually, hopefully I can win it. There is a nerd block that's coming up that's all Legend of Zelda stuff. I'm a huge Zelda fan, so you can get like the new Hyrule Warrior game. You can get the entire, I would say, like, buyer timeline of The Legend of Zelda up to, I think Wind Waker. No, not Wind Waker, Skyward Sword. You also get a kick-ass figurine, and you also get a really cool, you get actually the Hyrule Sword. Or Hyrule Shield and the Master Sword in this box set. So hopefully I win, because I could really use a win this week or month or year. Also, I think that's all I have. Now, is there anything else that's come up that you want to talk about, Kyle?
As far as I know, I'm pretty good. I would like to let everyone know I will not be on the next episode of Longbox Cast. If you guys are still doing one, or if we're just taking a hiatus, not really sure, but
yeah, I'll see if I can find anybody who would like to host with me. Whether you're over, in another state or whatnot, Kyle and I do our show basically through Google+, so it's not that hard to get a hold of me. Especially my hours, I should be pretty much home before like 4 o'clock. With the new gig and everything like that. So, so I'll look for that. If not, I might do one episode where it's just the best of, where I'll just find clips from different episodes and put them together to have a kind of a fun stuff. I can even do an origin story talking about how this got started. So if anybody is out there or any guests, because the interview that Kyle did last week, I thought it was a really good episode. And it was kind of cool to listen to that. I think Kyle did a very good job. He actually did a lot better job than, like he said it was his first interview, and I could have sworn he's done this before, because I remember my first interviews were like horrible with people. So congratulations to Kyle, and also congratulations to Kyle that he was able to find a really kick-ass guest. So, but yeah, if you have any projects coming up, anybody, you know, out there that's promoting something, you know, comic book wise or whatnot, feel free to hit us up at LongboxCast. On the Twitter, or check out the Facebook page. Hit us up there. Message either Kyle or I. We also follow me on the Twitter, you know, at Stephen Mooney Jr. If you want to come on, be a guest. Because I really would not want to put this on hiatus. I think the show's going pretty good right now, and to give everybody a break. Now, I do understand when breaks come up during, like, the November season and the Christmas season, stuff like that. So that's not a big deal, but we're still going strong and things like that. And I think during the month of October, I think Kyle and I, when he comes back, we'll talk about maybe what are some of the best, horror comics or ghost comics or anything supernatural wise. We can talk into some of those characters, such as like Ghost Rider, you know, Constantine, which also Constantine is going to be premiering sometime in October as well, I believe, which that's another show I'll definitely check out. We'll miss Kyle, but Kyle has stuff to do in the next couple of weeks. So send him your love. Kyle, yes. If I'm looking on the internet, I'm like, where the hell is Kyle? How can I find Kyle? I want to get in contact with Kyle. I don't know why it's a redneck looking for you, but where can we find you?
You can find me on soaponarope.com.
Wow, really? Damn.
No. You can find me on Twitter at Deadpool_Ranger. I started doing my live tweets for that for TV show. So if you were following me and you watched my live tweets for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., good for you. If not, follow me.
Yeah, go
I'm
ahead.
A barrel of laughs, I guess. I don't know. And you can also find me on Instagram at ksdesign009. I'll probably post some Infinity pictures there, and I'll probably also upload a few pictures to the Facebook page.
Very nice, very nice. Of course, you can find me on the Instagram at S. Mooney Jr. Hopefully when I start posting more artwork again, I'm trying to do some more superhero stuff as well. I've drawn like some Spider-Man stuff, some Deadpool stuff, Batman characters and things like that. And maybe even have a request. Maybe somebody was like, oh yeah, just draw like whatever. One guy was all like, hey, I would like to see a version of Swamp Thing. So I did that. Came out pretty good. So, I mean, I'm all about drawing random different things. So even if it's like the superheroes, a lot of people don't know who they are. But until next time, Kyle, say those magic words that I can never say.
Longbox Cast. Too many issues for a short box.
Laters.
He lies and fights, Batman. Purity and virtue, Batman. Powers run away, Batman saves the day. Also, Boy Wonder, Robin. Batman and Robin, Cape Crusaders at night. Bithauser, Batman.
This has been another fine production of the 4i Radio Network. For more great shows, check out www.4iradio.com.